Hello and welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marco's Chipper. You canna beat the scran doing it, Marco's. I'm Colin Byers, and this week I'm at home observing the lockdown rules, but through the wonders of modern technology, I'm still being joined by Martin Smith. Martin, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Yourself?
I'm all right, yes. Stuck at home, and you're at home as well, I'm assuming?
Yes, certainly am. I'm guiding the government rules as well.
For the first time in our lives, I think we're sticking to the rules with the government. It's been a while. It's been a month since we've actually managed to get together. A lot has happened since then.
Yes, certainly has been.
So how are you actually finding it been since the lockdown, since the coronavirus came in, and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's been difficult. Everybody's impacted differently, you know, whether it be you're going for your shopping, you know, you're having the social distancing within the shops, you're even going to the shops, you know, you have to queue to get into certain places that affect your work as well. Like I said, social distancing, the times that you work, because everything's changed. So, yeah, everybody's got to adapt to it as best we can and make the best of what is a terrible situation.
Aye, and myself and the wife, we've had the kids at home. We're 2 weeks before the actual Easter holidays. This is now the Easter holiday started, although there's not much difference because they've been at home for the last 2 weeks, as I said. But we found ourselves being, I wouldn't say teachers, but we're teaching assistants, shall we say. The teachers are still working, which is good. And I tell you, how the teachers deal with things is totally different from when I was at school 30 years ago. Because most of it's now all electronic through technology, the tablets and things like that. So actually, even though they're not at school, they're still getting the education that they need or that they should be getting, which is good. So, I mean, from my point of view, I kind of thank the two teachers enough, or the school enough recently. They've been really good. Any inquiries we've had about the kids' schoolwork has been good. So everybody talks about the NHS staff, and quite rightly, I think we should be applauding them for what they're doing just now. But we kind of forget the teachers and things like that, who were still working up until recently as well. So as I said, everybody's had to change. There is a slight change in what we classify as normality now.
I think that change will be there for a long time to come as well.
Yeah, I think the initial 3 weeks, I think that ends on Easter weekend, if I'm right in thinking. So, but by the looks of it, by the sounds of things, even the Prime Minister, he's in intensive care as at the time of recording. So yeah. I think this the whole thing's going to be extended until at least, I would think, till the end of April, which then begs the question of when everything else is going to be back to normal. The sense of normality could be disappeared by, or could this kind of normality, I should say, might be with us for a good 6 months yet.
Yeah, I think when you, obviously we're a football podcast, but I think when we go into the sporting world and you think how it's been impacted, rightly so, things have been cancelled, postponed and rescheduled for next year. But you said 6 months there, I think it could be 6 months before we can even contemplate restarting sport. And even then, you're looking at sport that's potentially played indoors as well as outdoors, and the restrictions that there could be on spectators within the sport as well when they come to watch how they'll be impacted.
Yeah, it's not just the fact that, let's take football for example. They spoke previously about playing behind closed doors. That's okay, cause that's all well enough, but you still need to have doctors, you still need to have your physios, and all these guys at the moment are being used, quite rightly, within the NHS to help out. So you can't even get, I wouldn't think they'd be cleared to even do that this present moment in time, because I said that they're being used in different departments.
Yeah, I think there was somewhere, I think it was the English Premier League or the Championship, they were looking to potentially play closed-door games in July. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, today, the 7th of April, we've still not hit the peak, according to the government. They still think that that could be 2, 3, 4 weeks away. To be in a situation where they can think they can play football again, even behind closed doors in July, to me, is, you know, you can't comprehend that at the moment, because we haven't hit the peak, and the amount of NHS staff, doctors, nurses, everybody that's needed to think that we can play sport, I don't think it's feasible at this moment in time, certainly not for July anyway.
No, no. Before we've got to get too into kind of the different options and what might happen, what could happen, what should happen, etc. The decision was made back on the 13th of March. We'd that week could obviously discuss the visit of Raith Rovers to Balmoor. We kind of touched on slightly what might happen. I didn't think we really thought that this would be as bad as it was going to be, did we?
No. We spoke about it on the Tuesday night. Obviously, the game was on a Saturday. We rightly touched on it, but it was almost a thought of, it's not quite at our doorstep yet. We might be fine. We might get through this game, and you never know. I think we play, was it Forfar on the Tuesday after that as well?
Would you play Forfar on the Tuesday, aye?
Yeah, I think we were both of the opinion that both games would be played and they would go ahead, and then you never know, things might change from then. So the decision was made that week on the Friday, I think it was, or late on the Thursday, that all Scottish games would be cancelled, rightly so. But yeah, I think we were in the opinion was it wasn't quite our doorstep, it would be okay, but that didn't turn out to be.
The games, obviously, the Saturday, the games were all called off on the Friday. And having previously spoken to Martin Johnson, he didn't get any indication that it was going to be cancelled that quick. Do you think the decision to postpone the games the day before, or in some cases, like Aberdeen were travelling down to Motherwell to play on the Friday night, was that too quick? Could they have waited until the Monday?
Yeah, there is an argument for it. I would maybe go on the flip side and say could have called it off sooner. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen the impact that it's had across the globe. It's not like it just came out of nowhere within a week. We have seen trends within Italy and Spain, how quick this can spread, that there was information even back then, in the 13th of March, of how quick the virus can spread. I don't think... I think had there not been an Old Firm game on the Sunday, I think we might have seen a quicker announcement by the Premier League, the Scottish Premier League, that is. The fact that was on the horizon, they maybe felt they wanted to play it. I think had that not been there, we might have got a decision quicker. On hindsight, it's a great thing, but for me personally, I wouldn't have waited until Monday. I think Friday, they were calling off, as you said, Aberdeen were due to go down to Motherwell. The announcement came about lunchtime. To me, it should have been the Scottish Premier League and subsequent leagues should have been suspended the day before on the Thursday, and everybody knew where they would have stood.
The cynic in me would say that the Scottish Premier League and the Scottish FA waited to see what the English were doing first, because that's what they seem to do usually, is just follow suit with the English. And I think that's probably what they're going to do this time, wait and see what the English are going to do, and then they're going to make a decision as per normal.
Yeah, they'll wait for someone else to make the decision, take the flat for it, and then Scottish football will follow.
Aye, exactly. That's just how it goes. So, with the different kind of options that have been banded about, none are official, shall we say. The only thing that's really come out is that UEFA wants all domestic games or domestic league season to be finished by June. I think since then, that's not going to happen.
No.
It's very difficult to play all these games and have everything finished by the end of June, because the longer this goes on, the more games that these guys are going to have to play within a short space of time.
Yeah, not only does it cause players potential injury, yeah, you know, let's say... be about the bush, you're risking lives by parking people in, even if it's players on the pitch with a referee. You know, you've got all these people attending to try and complete seasons by the end of June. you know, it's nonsense as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and it's as ludicrous as all these people are out at the weekend doing it in Brighton and things like that, because it was a fine day. They were at Brighton Pier and along the beach and things like that. In fact, there was one on the, you know, there was a couple on the news that were having a barbecue. I mean, you're tailgating outside. You're tailgating to stay at home. You're tailgating to stay at home. You're tailgating. You can go outside for your bit of exercise, and that's not just to lie about in the sun. That's not what it's there for. It's an airborne virus, so that's why you're all tilted to stay in. But in terms of then the options that's there, we think the options are void the season when it's safe to try and finish the season, or finish the season as is, and, you know, name the champions as is and relegation, etc., or finish the season but no relegation. What do you think is the best option, and has your opinion maybe changed in the last sort of 3-4 weeks as to how to finish the season?
As much as I'd like the leagues to stay the same, I mean, it's pure heat bides up and the Hearts get relegated since they charged £32 for an away supporter to go there anyway. I'd be quite happy to see Hearts go down. I don't think you can make the season null and void. I think the integrity of the league, we've got to finish it when we can and safely. You know, as you said earlier on, UEFA potentially want it done by June. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it should happen either. We've got to do it when it's safe to do so. To me, if that goes into August, September, and this season hasn't finished, then so be it. We could, hypothetically, you finish the season mid to late August into September, you have a month off, and then you try and come back with the next season. Is this a time for a bit of a reshuffle? You know, we've got 12 teams in the Premier League. Could you make it a 16-team league, have a shorter season, play each other twice, home and away, take away cup competitions? You know, the Betfred Cup that happens in July, is it really needed? This is a time for me, personally. The Scottish leagues, maybe here look at rejigging things about. I mean, we play, you know, you play teams in League One 4 times a season. If you've got them in the Betfred Cup or any other cup competitions, you could play them 5 times. You've got playoffs as well. There is an argument to say the leagues are too small. If you branch them out a bit and make them bigger, you could attract more people to games. And I don't know about you, you've got a Premier League game, for example. You don't want to be playing Aberdeen Motherwell 7 times potentially in one season. You want a bit of variety, and this is maybe the time of, like, out of a bad situation, something good can come about for Scottish football for 2, 3, 4 years down the line.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of criticise the guys at the top end of the game. Neil, I'm not a fan of Neil Doncaster. I don't think he's the guy for the job. However, I wouldn't envy his position at the moment. I wouldn't envy the choices he has to make at this present moment in time. You've got 42 teams in the SPFL, and there's no way you can please everybody. You've got 42 teams. You ask each club, and they will give you a response that will be that would suit them. So you're gonna get 42 different sort of responses to that extent. So, but I think if it does go into past sort of July, August, which it probably will do, I think you're right. Either restructure the leagues, certainly take away the Betfred Cup for a season. That then sort of brings up maybe another can of worms. Does Betfred, because they've sponsored it, will they get upset because the thing that they're sponsoring is disappearing for a year? But I would certainly take that out, or at least take out the league, the group stage of it, sorry, and just have a straight knockout again. So if you might get one game in it, you might get 2, 3, whatever, but it just reduces the amount of games that you're playing. And if you're extending the season and then obviously shortening the next one, you would have to then look at the transfer window as well. Because let's say you finish the season at the end of August, open up the transfer window beginning of September, and again, all that kind of changes again. So it's a very, very difficult situation. And it's not a situation I don't think we're ever going to be in again. But I think, I mean, if a couple of weeks ago I would have just said, yeah, let's just play the season and let's just get it finished. A couple of days ago I might have said to you that, well, we'll just end the season there as is, and we'll do it then. So I didn't really have a concrete sort of this is what we should be doing, because as I said, I kind of flip back and forth. And I think the longer it goes, the more I'll sort of flip back and forth. But if you take, even if you take League One for example, you've got 10 teams in there, and I bet you every one of them would. Have a disagreement as to how it should be finished, because I can, if you ask Stranraer for example, they would say no, let's carry on, because they're bottom of the league. You know, if Peterhead might just say, well, let's just end it, because we're, you know, we're sitting eighth, so we're kind of in a safe position. And then again, maybe a team like Clyde might say, well, no, we've had a bit of form recently. Again, we're only two or three on the bounce. We might just get a playoff position, you know. So it's all very, you know, and I think Falkirk would obviously say as well, let's just carry on, because they would want to get promotion straight up. But
yeah, like you said, there's already two different teams, and they would probably give you slightly different answers, but you're not going to please everybody. And Neil Doncaster and the SPFL, at some point, we'll need to make a decision.
Yes.
And it's not a decision. Everybody's got to have an opinion on it, depending on which club you support.
Yes. And they can't really make any decisions at this present moment in time, because the situation is, in this country, is we are still in a lockdown. We've got about 5-6 days left on this lockdown. However, and again, this is an opinion of mine, I think that this will be extended even further. So they kind of say with any certainty that, yes, we're going to start playing football beginning of June, because you never know. We might still be in lockdown by then.
You can make provisional plans, providing they are somewhat realistic. And I don't think, given that we're in lockdown, we've yet to hit the peak, according to the government, that you can plan even closed-door games in June and July.
Yeah. It's, as I said, it's very difficult. We just don't know how it's going to go. If you were the man in charge, what would you do? Really put your neck on the line here.
Like you said, it's a difficult situation to be in. Unprecedented. No one's ever had to decide this sort of thing. Again, you're trying to please 42 clubs, which isn't going to happen. But to make a decision now, to me, is wrong. You've got to at least give it another month. Like I said, we're not even in the peak yet. You've got to start seeing the trend and the curve coming down to then be able to try and plan anything. So to have a meeting this week and trying to sort of solve it, then I see the logic in it, really. I can understand if the peak was on the way down, you can then see, right, they're trying to get a bit of normality, but to do it now, I don't know if things right.
Yeah, aye. And as well, the players themselves must be, as well as the fans and everybody else, of course, the most frustrated, because footballers, as they say, just want to play football. That's all they want to do, and they can't do that at this present moment in time.
No, it's difficult for them. There has been some clips of football players training on their own and trying to keep themselves active. But again, they're like everybody else. They don't have a fan that can even contemplate going back to football, and that is probably harder for them. Sometimes it's easier when you've got a date to work to. You know, I came when the league season finishes, you look forward to the fixtures coming out, and then you look forward to the first game, whether it be a league game or a cup game. But at the moment, you've literally got nothing as a landmark to try and aim towards. And that must be difficult for everyone.
So let's assume then that the season is going to be finished at some point. So we've had a month already. It could be 3 months before they actually kick a bat in a competitive game, finishing off the season. will the players take maybe two or three games to get back into the swing of things again, and therefore your first two or three games might be much more difficult than you would expect, or do you think they would hit the ground running straight away?
Is this on Peterhead themselves or in general within football?
Well, yeah, in general, but you know, specifically we could say how Peterhead players could do as well.
Hitting the ground running, I think it would take a couple of games to get there. The flip side you've got is everybody would be in the same boat.
Yes, aye.
It's like Peterhead have had three games called off and, you know, we're playing arguments against Stranraer, but they're being kept going week in, week out, and they've got games and they're match fit. Everybody would be at the same stage.
Yes, aye. Yeah, it's just, it would be interesting to see how they cope. As you mentioned there about the players training on their own. We heard the story of Jason and his brother Jordan going running together and things like that. Hopefully they were sufficiently far enough apart,
yes,
2 metres away at the time. So it does show. I mean, they're all. I mean, some of them obviously part time or semi professional. They are pros to an extent. They'll keep themselves fit regardless of what's going on.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'd think they would come back pretty fit. Match fitness would be slightly different, I think, though.
Yeah, it would take a couple of games for everybody to get back into the swing of things, but like I said, the advantage is everybody be at that point. No one's got an advantage over anyone.
Yeah. So the other day there, Peterhead have been quite good putting out updates of what's been happening. Obviously, there's a lot been happening within the club recently. And their revenue or income revenues have been obviously cut quite a bit. However, in a statement that came out, a lengthy statement that came out the other day, all that seems to have kind of been rectified to a point. So a few things we could go through on the statement. We'll cover some of the negative sides for a start. And the biggest one that came out was the youth and community coach, Natty Porter, has been struggling the last sort of 10-12 days with the virus. And Natty is a fantastic guy. Everybody knows him, and you know he's a great guy for the community. And it just shows you a fit guy like that. It doesn't matter, does it?
No, absolutely not. I think you know, I'll only speak for myself here. Everybody's different, but you hear about it on the news, and yeah, you take it in, you listen to the numbers and everything. But then when you hear it's someone so close to home, you know, someone you see every match day, somebody you can speak to, somebody that's going around the club, and you realise, you know, it affects everybody. Nobody's exempt for picking up this horrible virus, and obviously we extend our wishes to Natty and hope a full recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll echo that wholeheartedly as well. The other thing, negative thing that came out as well was the banks, ironically, aren't helping anybody, it would seem. Not just Peterhead, but there are businesses up and down the country that are experiencing some hardships, not through any fault of their own, it should be said, but the banks are just outright refusing them to help, which is quite ironic, considering a few years ago, the taxpayer, you and I, bailed them out.
Yeah, we need to bail them out, but we need them to help out our football club and many businesses across the UK. They don't seem to be helping.
There will be a lot of businesses that will close, I think, because of this. And I suspect as well, a lot of football clubs will struggle. They might not struggle immediately, but there might be an after effect, if you see what I mean, with this down the line kind of thing. And a lot of clubs will struggle. And again, it's through no fault of their own, really. We just need to make sure that we as fans can do as much as we can to keep Peter, keep going as long as I can. And I know everybody's struggling at the moment. Everybody's, you know, every penny is a prisoner, as they say. So, but we can do whatever we can to try and help the club as much as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have, it would seem, furlonged all the players and staff, which you would expect. Obviously, as we kind of look at our neighbours south of the border, kind of thing, some of their bigger clubs are doing the same. Whether or not there's a their players could be doing more, because I certainly don't think that the Peterhead players could cover the wages of the other staff members. Whereas I think some of the English Premier League teams who are doing going down the flonged avenue could actually be covering the staff wages instead.
Yeah, absolutely. There's football players down in England earning an absolute fortune. Whilst they would argue they're entitled to their wages, we're in a global pandemic. You would like to think that certain players, whether it's documented in the media or not, would give up even a percentage of their wage to help out the guys who make training better for them and help in match days. You know, these are the guys that come in. Some teams, you know, the guys that turn up are volunteers.
Yeah.
For them not to be able to come into the club and work and help out, you know, it's a big loss to them. And that's the idea of this furlong, to help smaller clubs, smaller businesses. You wouldn't like to think that the bigger clubs in England would take advantage of it, but it appears there is some trying to.
There's a, dare I say, a moral dilemma within that. Kind of, if they can afford to be playing player X £250,000 a week, surely they can afford to. They've got money in the coffers to pay Betty in the canteen her £8.21 or whatever the minimum wage is, kind of thing. Because I'm sure that's pretty much what she's getting paid. So surely they could cover that. From an outside perspective, that's what we're getting anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if a football player's earning, argument's sake, in the Premier League, a big team, argument's sake, £100,000 a week, are they really going to miss 5% of it?
No.
In the long haul, you know, they could earn that back in bonuses.
Oh, aye, that's it. Aye.
You know, that's the thing. Like you said, they can help out the guys and the ladies that are helping in match days and around the clubs and in the ticket office and everything. They can afford at this moment in time to help out.
So, even though there's obviously a lot of negatives on the go, there is some positives that's coming out of the club. The sort of first big positive it came out was Scott Hooper has recovered, or is virtually recovered from his glandular fever. Obviously, he was going to miss the rest of the season, or would have missed the majority of the rest of the season. So we're now in a position where he's now fully recovered, or almost fully recovered, and could well play a part if the season does continue.
Yeah, hopefully there's no injuries between now and whenever we do start up again, because Scott's been a good player for us this season. To have him back would be a major boost whenever we do restart.
An interesting thing was as well that in the statement that came out for the club was that he and Jim, prior to, I think, the major lockdown coming in, was looking for him to extend his stay into next season as well, which can only be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. We've spoken before about players maybe just in that 1 year contract and then moving on or whatnot. It just shows players like playing under Jim. You know, as I've said, players can come here, and if they do have a good year and a half, 2 year, whatever, they can go on to bigger and better things. And if a player's willing to stick around again under Jim, that's massive credit to Jim as well as the rest of the coaching staff.
Yeah, and we should mention as well that within that statement, Jim has decided he's going to forgo his salary for the duration of this pandemic, which is a great thing for his a great gesture on his part, but it just kind of sums up the kind of person that he is.
Absolutely, and you get that when you speak to him as well.
Yeah, he's very much He's been there 8 years now. It's very much his club. It's his community. It's his fans, kind of thing. So he'll do what he can to help out.
Yeah, absolutely. And credit to him for that. Well done, Jim.
Yeah. The other great gesture was for their chairman. He's opening up his hotel, the Cock and Bull, to NHS staff free, which again, not many people would do that in his position, but it's a great gesture from him.
Absolutely. I think this came out, about 10 days ago, 2 weeks. And there was a big thing, NHS staff, you see it on social media quite a lot. They're looking for places to go, traveling back and forth to potentially affect their families. And then this news came out about Roger opening up the Cock and Bull is an absolute fantastic gesture, and I'm sure that the offer would have been taken up by the NHS staff.
Oh, yeah, and it just shows you that a guy like him, and dare I mention a certain airline owner who down south is worth billions himself. He can't afford to pay his staff wages, but then you get a guy like and there's Roger and Jim doing those kind of things for a smaller club and a small gesture like that. It just shows you the difference, and sometimes it can take a situation like this for people to show their true character, their true selves.
Yeah, it shows you the class that they've got as well.
Yes, absolutely. The club itself, mostly, we should say, Martin Johnson has been trying to be as proactive as possible in the social media. You've mentioned before we started recording, you felt that the social media has been more proactive recently.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's one of them things. You try and make the best out of a bad situation. I think Peter Reid are trying to do that, especially, as you said, Martin, through the show, get my word then, through social media. He's been doing a few things on Facebook as well, which is good to see. And it's a good interaction between the club and the fans. It's not just like it's been cut off and you didn't hear from the club for weeks and months on end. So it's good to see the club are being proactive.
And, well, you and I know as much as anybody how difficult it is to try and keep someone going in this difficult time. We've resorted to Footwear Dean today. As I said, it's the first time in about a month since we've gotten together, so it is much more difficult than it has been previously.
Yeah, there's a lot of work goes behind the scenes to try and get things organised, whether it be you and I trying to come up with a recording, or whether it be like guys like Martin at PI Football Club trying to put things on social media. It's a difficult time for everyone.
Yeah,
we just need to try and pull together and get some content done.
And they're trying different avenues to get income coming in, because obviously there won't be any income coming in at all. They've got the Platinum Club. They're going to be extending the 50-50 club and things like that. So it's obvious that they're not just going to sit on their hands and wait to see what happens, or they're not just going to say, "Oh, woe is me," kind of thing. And where's the money coming from? They're being proactive and they're trying to do something, which for me then makes me then want to go, right, okay, if they're going to be proactive, like, I'm going to try and help as much as I can.
Yeah, that's actually what went through my head as well. You see, teams are trying to make the best out of this. Peter Reid are certainly one of them. Or you could, on the flip side, see teams that are just mumping and moaning about it and arguing, well, we that came from, we're next getting money in. Tour clubs that we kind of pay players. Peter Reid had done that. Players have given up part of their wages. Jim's forlonged his as well. And Peter Reid are trying to do something, which makes us in turn want to help out the club. So it's a cycle, which hopefully at some point can generate money into the club and see us through this horrible disease.
Yeah, as I said, we just have to kind of wait and see. The decisions are out of our hands. The decisions are out with the decision makers' hands, I guess, as well, until such time that we see a dip in the amount of cases that come in. But life, as we know, is going to be very, very different for the next foreseeable future anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. You see more so with people's work, the amount of people I know is actually working from home. It just sort of begs the question, will they, when things do, if they ever do go back to normal, all these people that can work from home at the moment, do they actually need to be, whether it be in the office,
yeah,
you know, when things go back to normal, or can they do the job from home, which might be safer, it's got less people within the workplace. Mm. So if there is, argument's sake, it's Christmas time, a common cold, you know, the thing there might help as well, but that's looking slightly further ahead.
And you and I are still both working. It comes to a point, the longer, for me anyway, the longer this goes on, the more a worry it gets, because every time I leave to go to my work, I think to myself, right, am I going to be taking anything back with me? I'm coming home to my wife and two kids. Am I unknowingly affecting them? So, yeah, unfortunately, we're classified as essential. I don't know how essential we'll be once all this kind of blows over. But we kind of still have to carry on and do what we're doing and try and get some sense of normality to get everybody through, I think.
Yeah, and like you said, do you unwittingly take things home? It's the mental side as well. You know, I know people are struggling with the cabin fever of staying in your house and not going out as much as they would have liked to before, especially the nice weather that's now kicking in. It could only happen in a Scottish lockdown that you get really nice weather.
I know, I was sitting here just now looking out. There's not a cloud in the sky. It's blue skies. It is so sunny. It's so nice. But we kind of go outside.
And it's the right thing to do. Yes. You know, as much, I would rather stay in for the next month to be able to go back out in June, July and try and get normality than everybody going out now, not adhering to the advice, and then we're stuck in this situation until, who knows, maybe even next year, you really don't have care. And it's that mental side of things that everybody needs to be strong with. Easier said than done.
Yeah.
But we just need to try and remain positive, and there will be, as the government keeps saying, there will be at some point a downward trend, and you can try and look to go back to whatever normality may be in the future. We just don't know at this moment in time.
And I bet you there hasn't been as many Skype phone calls or video phone calls that there has been in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Because I know that's how we've been communicating anyway.
Yeah, that's exactly the same with me. When you're trying to stay in touch with family and friends, it really is Skype and FaceTime is the way forward.
That's the way to do it. Right. I think we've pretty much covered everything. I mean, I think as an experiment, I think this is going better than expected, I think.
The only downside is we haven't been able to get a Marco's chipper.
No, yes. Who's still open, by the way, and is doing a fantastic job at the takeaway deliveries now, which I'm assuming you've had because he's just around the corner for you.
I wouldn't like to comment on that, actually.
We'll leave it there then.
Yes.
Right, and that's it for this edition of the Blue Tune podcast. My thanks to Martin for remotely joining me. Our thanks go to our sponsor, Marco's Chipper, and of course to you guys for listening as well. It's a very difficult time for everyone, so on behalf of Martin and myself, stay safe, stay at home, and most importantly, look after each other. Cheers, thank you.